And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend, and if we're just talking about weather, how could you not have? Like 85 degrees Saturday and Sunday? Not a drop of rain? It's fantastic. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick. We're here at Hermitage Golf Course. Ladarius Robinson, on-site engineer. I haven't seen Ladarius in like hours.
Hours.
But, yes, from Patron Platinum Club, almost. Max got a kick out of me going, have a great rest of your Sunday. Max was like, yeah, there was like 45 minutes left in your Sunday. And I was like, yeah, well, make the most of your last 45 minutes. And then right back at it. That's where the Predators will be tomorrow night against the Flames. But we're here at Hermitage Golf Course today. Why, Willie?
Well, it's the Hart Golf Classic to benefit STARS, which stands for Students Taking a Right Stand. It's just got a broad platform now, just helping teenagers with all kinds of issues that face them these days with, you know, anything that comes up. You know, we've all been teenagers at one time or another. We've been through the issues with bullying, you know, if you need counseling, if there's substance abuse, if there are problems at home, STARS is there for you. They've done such a great job over the years. They've partnered up with our station. Our station has been extremely supportive. I'm really appreciative of that. Of course, my wife, Erin, works for STARS, has now for – it's crazy. You know how long she's worked for STARS, Darren? You won't even believe this. Since 2008. She's been with STARS for 14 years now.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I remember
– like, she was doing some things
we used to go
way back with community high school, which had, you know, somewhat of a same, you know, approach, just trying to, you know, help teenagers with a little more specific based.
But we used to do shows from the STARS facility, right? I don't know if they're still in that building or not. I don't.
Well, they're still in the. It was a brand new building when
yes,
it opened.
Brand
yeah.
new.
And yeah, they're still there, cranking it out. And so today is their big fundraising golf tournament. We've got one for 102.5 The Game coming up here at Hermitage as well. And so we'll be telling you about that later on today. But we're just out here enjoying it. Got a nice cloud cover right now. It's probably going to rain at some point. Hopefully not too much before the golfers finish the round. It's a beautiful golf course out here at Hermitage. So it's always great to be outside. We're on the pavilion right now, Darren. So I feel pretty good. We got a nice breeze, nice flow going through here. If it rains, we got it covered.
We do.
So we're in good shape.
We are in good shape. And we're going to have, I hope a lot of people out here have fun. Hopefully the rain will behave. I think I've looked every hour. I don't know how accurate this is, what, 30, 40%? So hopefully it'll hold out. And everything is going to be fantastic, just like this weekend. It's going to be warm. We know that. It'll still be in the 80s, low 80s. So, you know, just need it to hold out.
I would just like, you know, a couple weeks of not high 80s. Can we get some 70s for a couple
weeks?
Well,
it's coming. It's coming later in the week, 70s.
You know, high 60s, mid-70s.
60s. Let's go 70s.
That's fine. I'll take 70s. I'll tell you what I did see last night. I saw a miracle around midnight. Incredible comeback by the San Jose Sharks to sneak a point. Mm. It steal a point from the Golden Knights, an enormous point, which made you feel, it made me anyway, me, feel so much better about what happened last night. Because, of course, the Predators lost in overtime to Minnesota. And, of course, anytime you lose in overtime, especially if it's in the three-on-three, it's just that tough ending. It's like, oh, you lost. And it's so gut-wrenching, especially the way it happened, 1 second, 2 seconds on the clock. But then the night keeps going. You did get a point. Then the night keeps going. And Vegas had the nightmare. All Vegas had to do was close out a game they had total control of. Total control against the San Jose Sharks, a team going nowhere, just playing out the string. And to their credit, the Sharks, on the back half of back-to-backs, rallied. They were down 3-1, and they couldn't get a sniff late in the second period. Nick Bonino scores a goal out of nowhere to make it 3-2. But then Vegas pushes in the third period. They go up 4-2, and it could have easily been 6-2. James Reimer plays great. Great. But still, it's like, well, why am I even watching this? All of a sudden, with about 5 minutes to go, Bonino scores another goal. Our man, Bones. Thank you, Nick. Sneaks a seeking eye shot from the point through 15 guys. Didn't touch anybody. Goes in. Now it's 4-3. And all of a sudden, there's a little bit of, ooh, got to make sure we close this one out. But Vegas is going nuts. Hey, everything's going great. We got this figured out. Mark Stone pops in wide open for the empty net goal. Hit the post. Missed it. There's another play in front of the empty net. Brent Burns slashes the stick out of William Karlsson's hands. Should have been a penalty. Would have ended the game effectively. No call. Final seconds. Shot goes off the backboard. 2 seconds left. 1 second. Timo Meier puts it in. 0.9 on the clock. I'm watching the Vegas coverage. The clock says zero on the TV. I was thinking, it doesn't count. But the clock is not synced up to the actual clock. He had a whole second to spare almost. Overtime. What happens in overtime? Hey, Vegas, still just get a point. Get the extra point, no problem. You got it covered. You can still get your 2 points, which you have to have. Penalty call on Burns in the overtime. A minute 37 of 4-on-3 for the Golden Knights. On the ice, Eichel, Stone, Pacioretty, Shea Theodore. Four horses. They can't score. Goes to the shootout. Who were the three? Theodore, Eichel, and Nick Waugh, who I think is 3-for-4 on the season. They go 0-for-3 against Reimer. The third shooter for San Jose, his last name is Borderlo. He's out of Michigan, right out of college. Just got to the NHL. Makes an unbelievable move. Seals the deal. And the Sharks get the 2 points. Absolute stunner. So Nashville, instead of the feeling we would have today of, oh boy, Tuesday, boy, we got a lot of scenarios here. That point is enormous. Enormous. And so the Predators now have the magic number of 2 and not 3 to get into the playoffs. Now, holding off Dallas, that's a whole other thing. And, Darren, I sat there with my wheels turning because I got a surge of adrenaline. And it's about 1 a.m. last night. And I'm sitting here going, okay, Tuesday, what about this? What about this? There's so many things that can happen Tuesday because I had people on Twitter after I posted, wow, a miracle just happened in Vegas. They're like, well, who do we want to win? Dallas hosts Vegas on Tuesday, right at the same time that the Predators play the Flames.
Yeah, because I think because of what happened, you root for Vegas.
You root for Vegas.
Yes.
So you're in the mindset of don't worry about Vegas passing you at this point.
Yes.
Okay.
That was their look. They're okay. Done. They're done. By the way,
think they're done?
They're done. This is where I'm going with this. They're done.
Okay.
We'll have Elliot Friedman back.
You know
this
me.
Week
I'm
on
not.
Thursday.
I don't know. Like it's not over till it's over.
Well, I'm just telling you, they got a lot of. Hold on. Let me think about it. Stuff.
Oh, yes,
going on
do.
Behind the scenes.
Yes, they do.
They got a lot of. Hold on. Let me think
coach.
About it. Should I say it? No. Let's go with stuff.
Let's go with stuff.
Going on behind the scenes. We'll have Elliot back on Thursday. He took last week off, like from everything, not just us.
Yeah.
He took last week off from everything. He'll be back. On Thursday, we're going to get into the Robin Leonard and the stuff going on behind the scenes with it. It's a hot, hot mess.
Yes.
And it's very clear that, yeah, Vegas has dealt with a lot of key injuries or injuries to key players throughout the season. They've had big stretches of big money guys out of their lineup. Sure, that's factored into this season. But more importantly, it looks like they've got real issues, too, going on behind the scenes. I mean, was it Emily Kaplan came out and just, I mean, the reports seem to be true. I mean, like, Robin Leonard having season-ending surgery, done for the year. Vegas Golden Knights, they come out. No, that's not true. No, he's not. What?
Well, let's wind it back a little bit further.
He didn't start last night, but he was the backup. I think it was Logan Thompson last night, but
it was.
He was in uniform and he was on the bench.
Let's wind it back a little bit further. Their last game was Wednesday. No. Their last game, what's today? I'm losing track of the days. Today's Monday. Man, when you play those back-to-backs, I'll tell you what. Their last game was, they had some time off. They played Wednesday against Washington. The day's not important. Robin Leonard gives up the first goal of the game, and Pete DeBoer, not the nicest, friendliest guy, warm and fuzzy, that you'll meet around hockey, okay? But he's a good coach. Used to be the coach of the Sharks, beat the Predators in Game 7, remember that, and now he's coaching the Golden Knights. They give up a goal early, and Robin Leonard is pulled after one goal. Now, you tell me the last time you saw a goalie pulled after one goal.
I can't.
He's out. They put in Logan Thompson. They rallied a win in overtime. Kept their hopes alive. Between that game and last night, there were several reports that Robin Leonard, who has been injured all year, fighting through it, is going to shut it down.
Is tired of the criticism. And really, it sounds like he's tired of hearing it from his head coach.
And remember, he's gone through a lot in his career.
Correct.
Right? He's got some off-ice stuff that he's a great story, really. But he's also a guy that he will share his thoughts and opinions with everybody.
Well, he did it in the bubble, did he not?
He absolutely did. So this is a guy that is not going to keep it under wraps.
Tight-lipped? No?
No. So it comes out that he's having season as several sources. And then Emily Kaplan yesterday. And Pete DeBoer the entire time. Oh, no. Oh, no. To my knowledge, he's going to dress tomorrow. So he dressed last night. Didn't play. So what will be the next chapter? Because as you said, there's some stuff. There's some stuff
oh, there's
going
stuff.
On there.
We'll get into that with Elliot.
So they fly to Dallas Thursday, today. So they play the Stars
I think
tomorrow
they're done.
Night.
I think they're done.
Is Leonard playing tomorrow?
They're not overcoming. No. I think they're done. I think he is forcing Leonard just to sit there and watch. I think he's going to make him just keep suiting up. Like, he's not going to give him the pass of letting him just go away.
Okay.
Like, Leonard wants to shut it down and, like, I'm done with you. I want to go away and get surgery, and I don't want to be around you anymore. And I think he's punishing him, going, no, you're going to sit right here, and you're going to watch.
Wow.
And you're going to have to deal with everything. You can't run and hide. It's a mess. We'll come back and talk about what happened last night at Bridgestone Arena. By the way, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, looks like you have 25, 30 minutes until the rain. LOL.
Yeah.
That was from Griffin. Coming. Griffin, that's not funny.
My phone says
what's
100%.
100%. But. Yeah, it's getting kind of dark and
cloudy.
And cloudy.
Yeah. Sometimes when that happens, it rains.
I'm glad we have a roof. Just like the Titans should have a roof. We're just like,
this
hopefully,
is, this could be
the
stadium.
New Titan
the air,
Stadium.
The windows are open.
This is an,
we got a roof and the flow. We got the air
we
flow.
Are
this
in
is it.
Enclosed.
This is it.
Open air.
We're in a mini version of the new stadium.
This is it. We'll sit out our renderings a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, we will.
We'll come back. We'll talk about last night at Bridgestone Arena next. Crazy win last night at Bridgestone Arena. Predators will be right back at it tomorrow night again with the Calgary Flames. Final week of the regular season. So let's just go on and jump into it. We're here at Hermitage Golf Course for Stars. We'll have your wife on a little bit later. How about that?
Yep, we'll have to chat with her for a minute.
You okay
she's
with that?
By. Yep.
I know she doesn't like to talk.
You got to corral her
she's
quick
very shy.
She's moving. She's on
very
the move.
Shy. But we'll try to put her on the radio.
We will. We just heard the moment, that moment last night that you never like to hear when you lose in overtime. Especially with time ticking down and you're thinking, wow, what about a shootout matchup? What would the shootout matchup be? I thought when Colton Sissons wrestled the puck back across the line that was it, that there's no way they have time for another goal. But it just shows you in hockey how quick ground can be covered or ice can be covered. Right? Did you think, like, when that puck went towards the bench. I was like, well, that's it. We're going to a shootout.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't say it on the air, thankfully, because I've learned the hard way to not do it until that green light comes on. And then sure enough, they get the breakaway goal.
So you've learned over the years.
I've learned the hard way. In fact, you know what I flashed back to last night when Vegas gave up the goal in the final second to go to overtime and eventually lose the shootout? Remember the game right before Thanksgiving a few years ago where they scored here? Vegas scored here with less than 1 second? Like Dan Hamhuis had the puck, I swear to God, with 1 second left behind the net. And the next thing you know, it was in the net. It was boom, boom. But Mikhail Granlund had one against the Flames, remember, with 0.2 seconds, where Philip Forsberg literally had the puck behind the net. You could see the ticks. With less than a second left, he had the puck behind the net and then got it to Granlund into the net with 0.2. So that's all it takes. So, Darren, I don't know how – I did not get a chance. I flipped on because I was a glutton for punishment, I thought, but I was rewarded. I immediately turned on the Knights game. I didn't hear your post game last night. What was your feeling? I had so many different feelings during that Predators Wild game that were mixed. Early on, I'm frustrated. You're behind. And you're getting badly outshot at one point. They give up 14 straight shots to start the second period. Mm-hmm. They give up the goal to go down 2-1.
Well, it was 37-18 shots after two periods.
Yeah.
37-18.
It was really – and then during the second period,
And then it was like 43-20, right, at one point.
42-20. The Predators only got one shot in the first 10 minutes of the third period.
Yep.
Still down by one. So there were some long stretches that the game went back and forth. So at different times, I felt different ways. I thought it was one of the big moments of the season when they gave up the goal with the pile up in front that was a challenge, which I thought was incorrectly called. I don't know about you. I don't know if you got a good look at it. Our look at it suggested that Luke Cunningham did not touch Middleton.
Well, how did I feel about it?
But you could argue that that play inspired
the
Predators.
Did you see my tweet?
Because oh, I didn't see your tweet.
No, I know.
It results in a 3-on-5, and the Predators kill it off, and I thought they built – all of a sudden the crowd is going bonkers. They scored the two goals, and then at that point I'm thinking, okay, that actually energized the Predators, and I thought they might put it in another gear. Minnesota doesn't have too much to play for, and maybe they'll just surge past the Wild and win going away. But the next thing you know, Kevin Fiala makes a couple of unbelievable plays, and you're behind a goal. And then it looked like Minnesota had a total handle on the game until Favreau comes up with a magical shot.
You're throwing too much. Let's go back to the play. Let's talk about it.
All right, so where do you want to start?
Well, let's start about
the disputed goal.
Yeah, I mean, my tweet was, sure does look like goaltender interference to me. This one shouldn't count. But what the heck do I know? These plays always come back, seems like 50-50. Coin flip. Every time I'm like, this is for sure one way, half the time I'm right. The other time, it's for sure this, and they come back and say, no, you're wrong. It's not that. So I said, I don't have a clue. This looks pretty – I've sat there and I've watched it over and over and over again. This, to me, looks like Middleton's blades were up and he was already going down. The first time Cunning stick made any contact with his body part, I felt like Middleton was already blades up and into Rittich.
I don't even think he touched him.
I think his stick may have touched his leg late in the sequence.
At that, maybe.
But they said that he's the cause of that. That is incorrect.
No way.
It's incorrect. I honestly, look, really this is all for not. We're going to discuss it because it's a sports talk radio show and – we can bring it up with Elliot and others because I just don't understand. Like, help us understand how you can look at the same stuff and come away. Is this like, the dress color on Facebook? How can you see it as black and I see it as blue? I don't get it. Like, when I look at that dress color, I see it as one color. Yet 50% of America sees it another color. Is that how this works? Because I watch it slow-mo. I watch it over. And by the way, it is now pouring. So, Griffin, you were right. Thanks for the heads up. It is pouring here at Hermitage Golf Course. But we are in a smaller version of the new Titans enclosed stadium. So we're good.
Very pleasant.
We're just going to keep going. There's no delay. There's no lightning delay. There's no nothing. We just keep going. And that's what the new home of the Titans will be like. When bad storms roll in, they just keep going. And people don't have to pull out or go in the club area. They can just stay in their seats.
Yep.
Because it's enclosed. Anyway, I digress. How can you come away and say Cunnin is the cause of that?
There's no way
you can convince me. There's no way. Like, I don't care what Gary Bettman, I don't care what Toronto, I don't care what anybody says to me. Unless they've got some secret kept video that none of us were privy to. But how could it be any different than what we saw?
I don't know. Cunnin
is not the cause of Middleton going in blades up and falling down into Riddick. It should have been no goal, and the Predators were going to have to kill off a penalty because Riddick was getting the penalty no matter what.
Yes.
But how do they look at this stuff and say, because that was my exact tweet, this is goaltender interference. This goal should not count. But what does it say that I then in the same tweet can go, but I'm only right half the time because I never know what they're going to come back with. And sure enough, they came back and I said, there you go. That's a prime example.
Well, this is again what the overall umbrella. Remember, we haven't had a whole lot of these this year. I think it might be the first time.
We certainly used to talk about it a lot more.
Yes. It might be the first time the Predators have challenged one. And they knew. They were going down two men if the challenge was unsuccessful. And they were sure enough that they still challenged. Now, that ought to tell you something. But what is the wild card of goaltender interference? A, it's subjective to a point. And B, the referees are the ones that look at that iPad. Now, they get consultation from the Situation Room in Toronto. But they're still looking at that iPad, and they get to make the call. This is what was modified a couple years ago. Unless it's egregious, the call on the ice is going to stand. So that's the standard. And so what I was worried about was not that Cunnin took the legs out of Middleton, because that clearly doesn't happen. You could watch that 100 times, and there's no way, after you look at the different angles, that you can come to that conclusion that they came to. I don't understand that. What I was worried about is that they were still just going to keep the goal because Riddick sort of got backed into his crease, and he's still kind of upright as the puck goes in. I thought they just might say it didn't have to do, the contact didn't have to do with the goal. But that was my worst case scenario. But for them to come back and say that Cunnin caused Middleton to go into Riddick, I was shocked. I was shocked. Chris Mason was very confident that they would overturn the goal.
I never assumed.
We've gotten to the point in offside. Usually when they challenge, they're pretty sure. Mm-hmm. The goaltender interference is still 50-50. A wild card.
It's a coin flip.
Yep.
You're right. It has come down like we used to have. I feel like we had these discussions a lot more. It's been much quieter on that front this season. But again, I go back to that play and I just look and I shake my head and I go, how did you come to that conclusion?
It in real time, if you missed that, I could see that if you missed it in real time.
We're not talking about real time.
Because his stick does come in there. Like you said, it's very late. I'm not sure he even touches him.
You have a video room.
But if he did, he's already falling in.
You have people to talk to. It's not about real time.
I know.
It's about looking at the video slowed down and having a room that can talk to you and communicate with the crew. I don't know if the crew was solely responsible for that call, if that call came from Toronto. I don't know. But, I don't know how you can look at that and come away with that. So I'm going to ask you this question on the other side about that play, which I thought X and I had a really good discussion. Hal was over on the TV side last night with you guys. He was on the at the table with Lindsay Rowley. So Max Herr stepped in at last night and hung out with me, and we got into an interesting discussion. I'm going to bring up to you what he brought up to me that I was hoping would get asked in the press conference, but did not. But I want to hear how you answer it on the other side here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're here at Hermitage Golf Course, and boy, is it coming down.
It's a pleasant pleasant rain. It's coming down hard. It's not a dangerous rain. It's not lightning and thunder. So
No. Hopefully okay.
it'll clear
come
through
in
here
and
give some windows to get back.
Move out.
Out there, yeah. You never know. We'll be optimistic.
We will. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here at Hermitage Golf Course. All right, here's the question that I've got. And I wanted John Hines to get asked this last night just to hear his answer. And I don't know what his answer is. So everybody knows the new rule. If you lose the challenge, then you're going to go down a man. Everybody knows that. Is that a deterrent? Yeah, it is. But if you feel pretty confident about it and your video coaches, then you go with it, right? You roll the dice. Like, okay, so if for some reason we're to lose, we'll just kill it off. But what about when you know the scenario is you lose the challenge and now you go down two men?
Yeah.
Which was exactly the scenario.
That's what I said in the last segment. I was like, they knew. They knew they were going down two men if they lose that challenge.
But that is not, that cannot be the same conversation as one man, because now you're in a two. This is now a chance where if you lose, you're now behind and you go down two men. And all of a sudden, the game could get away. It could be end up being the play that changed the entire complexion of the game, right? We could be having that conversation. We know it didn't play out that way. It ended up being a huge kill, and it gave the Predators momentum. But it could have gone the other way, too.
Oh, yeah, it could
have. So you have to talk about that. I wonder how hard of a decision, how much contemplating they were of, man, we want to, but we're going, if we lose, we go down two men.
Yeah. I think they were that confident.
A 2 minute 5-on-3.
I think they were that confident that it was an obvious goaltender interference. And I still believe that that was the case. It was obvious. But you're right. I think they had to contemplate that. They had to know that. Now, here's an unanswerable question.
Well, do you think question. Was it different?
Yes, I think it
You
it
think
does.
They were like,
yeah, they knew there was a penalty on Riddick.
Do we do this or do we not do this? We feel confident, now, but do we really do this?
Yeah, I think it had to change the discussion. We'll probably ask John Hines tomorrow when we get a chance about that.
I want to hear his answer.
Yeah, I'll ask. Here's the unanswerable question. Let's say the challenge is upheld. Score remains 1-1, and the Wild go on the power play, and it's killed off. The game remains 1-1. Do you still arrive at the same conclusion? How does the game change as a result? Because so much happened after that challenge. The game took a completely different tone. You got this emotional 5-on-3, angry 5-on-3 kill off. Two power play goals, you're in the lead. Then it goes back the other way. It was chaos on the ice. How many posts were hit last night? It ended up being an extremely exciting second period after that challenge. So that's the unanswerable question, is what happens if that goal is wiped off? Do the Predators come back strong after that? Or do the Wild continue what they were doing, and that was sort of controlling the game at that point? Like we were saying before, they got the first 14 shots of the second period. A lot of them came on that power play, but really the 3-on-5, they didn't get a lot of shots through. Nashville blocked a ton of shots. Do you have any opinion on that? I mean, that's something we'll just never know.
No.
How does the game unfold differently if that goal is wiped out?
Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland.
Yeah, so I love what happened last night, honestly. I'm a big Preds fan, but I'm not sure that they got the mental capacity to handle some of these things that happened to them. That's playoff stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, that stuff happens in the playoffs. We see it all the time, like a terrible call, the Forsberg skate. Stuff like that happens, and you got to be able to regroup. I don't think they were as good as Minnesota last night. Honestly, I kept watching it, waiting for them to kick it into another gear. They had, like, a few minutes right after that 5-on-3 that looked really good. But Minnesota doubled them in shots, man. Like, they took it to us, you know, in our building. It didn't look good. I mean, it didn't look good to me.
Well, I think right now the Predators, like, I think what Adam is saying is, and I was going back through this, different ways to look at that game. You could be like, oh, shucks, should have won. And then on the other hand, you got outshot 47-25. Possession numbers heavily favored Minnesota. Chances heavily favored Minnesota. But Nashville still found a way to get a point with the backup goalie in there. Like, can UC Saros maybe on his best night bail you out and win that game for you? Yeah, I think that might have happened last night. But they had to rest UC Saros in their mind. David Rittich gave him a good effort, a solid effort, and got him a point. I think you take that. So the real big picture question is what Adam's asking, Darren, and that is, where is the Predators' A game? Because right now they still are down a gear. Do you agree? You got to have your A game to beat the best teams. And they're just right now in Tampa on Saturday. Last night they fought, they clawed and scratched, they battled, but it wasn't their A game. And they've got to have their A game if they're going to be successful in these last three games and in the playoffs.
They're 5-5-2 this month, and I don't really look, a lot of people are bringing up the power play or the penalty kill, I should say. And I don't really think the penalty kill has been an issue. I think the penalties all season have been an issue, and it's finally caught up with them, and it's basically caught up with them with really good teams with the man advantage, like St. Louis was second best in the league. It bit them in that game. Edmonton was fourth best in the league. It bit them in that game, special teams. And Minnesota.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. But what's weird is, like, they were just on the outside of the top 10. I'm like, how? How is that possible? Like, they're ridiculous on the power play.
They scored 8 last night, Tampa Bay. No,
they scored 8 against Toronto, 6 against the Preds, 8 last night against Florida.
And Florida
had
won
13
goals in a row
in 3 games against the Panthers, the Leafs, and the Predators.
Yeah, watch out.
Playoff teams.
Toronto is going to be up against it in that first round against Tampa.
Woo.
You think? You talk about some pressure.
You think they'll be the underdog?
But you're right.
Anyway,
the penalty kill against
Minnesota,
top power plays, everybody's got a problem.
Minnesota was 18th, and you're like, but Minnesota came into the game red hot. The 2 power play goals, that's 5 power play goals in 2 games for Minnesota. So their power play has been really good, and they're scoring at will. That's the reason they're having success. They're averaging, 4.5 goals a game?
Well, let's again put it in perspective. Now, Minnesota was missing a couple of key pieces last night, but there's only one team that has beaten them in the last 21 games in regulation. One team, and that's the Predators in early April.
6-2.
6-2. They haven't lost. They're 17-1-3, Minnesota is. So they are playing absolutely elite hockey at this point. So to play with those teams, the Predators have to have everybody pulling the rope. And right now they're really leaning heavily on their top guys. And on UC Saros, and so
okay, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because we have a question on the text line that I think is a good one, and you just brought up UC Saros, and he's kind of a big part of that question. So let's talk about that on the other side to close out hour number one here at the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We're here at the Hermitage Golf Course. We just saw D-Mace during the break. His foursome has come in, and they are soaked. D-Mace.
But D-Mace, he's on the board at Stars, and that's who we're here to support today out at Hermitage. And so D-Mace came in. He looks like a golfer. Remember the first story, that Chris Sanders told, that he and Derek Mason, the first time they played golf, they had never played before, and Derek wore his wide receiver gloves onto the course.
Mm-hmm, he did.
To get a grip on the club. But He looks like a player today. And he's got his head on one of those cutouts. So that's big time. I mean, you know you're big time when you get your head on the cardboard cutout.
One time we had at a remote, we had a cornhole boards with our faces on them. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
At a tire, you know, that, tire then, store up see, in north of town.
That's as far as we've gotten. We don't have the bobblehead. The next level for us would be the bobblehead.
Nope.
Right? We haven't gotten that yet.
Nope.
Mace and Skillsy now are at that level. So they have moved to that level.
They
bobblehead
are.
Level. The bag chuckers.
Let's Lester on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, said last night you and Mace were talking about how big this game was, and he said, in fact, Mace said it was the biggest game of the year so far. So with that being said, why wouldn't you give Saros, if you were going to give him the night off this weekend, why wouldn't you give him the game off in Tampa and play him against Minnesota?
I think in retrospect, it's a fair question, but I think they felt like the Tampa game was winnable, and regardless of who they're playing or who they're or how tough the competition is, every point is big. So I don't know that the game last night was any more important than the game on Saturday. Would you agree? Like Minnesota, you can't do anything to Minnesota. Minnesota is simply playing for home ice against the Blues. So taking points away from them isn't a factor in the decision. I think they felt like with a fresh team going to Tampa, arrested UC Saros, you give it a shot.
Well,
even though Tampa right now, as we've seen, they've turned the dial back up to championship level. If you had played Tampa a couple weeks ago, you might have caught them at a time where they were sort of cruising. A couple guys hurt. You know, they were losing some games. Like, what's going on with Tampa? They got that wait for the playoffs kind of thing, but now all of a sudden they flipped the switch.
My answer would be I don't know if John Hines knew exactly how he was going to have that play out. I think he was – I said it yesterday in pregame. I said it last night even in postgame. I said it this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. If you're asking me – because remember, they didn't skate, right, before the game. So nobody knew who was going to be in net. I was like, yes, he pulled Saros 2 minutes into the third period, but would I have been surprised if he goes right back? No. In fact, I was probably leaning towards he's just going to go right back to Saros because we've been retrained under John Hines. He's not afraid to do that. And so I thought there was a real shot. He played again last night against Minnesota.
I do think they leave their options open.
Maybe they changed the game plan after what happened in Tampa and just said, you know what, it's just maybe just give him the next game off. Maybe the game plan changed. That would be my answer without knowing, again, not hearing it from John Hines. He was asked in postgame down in Tampa, but I think it was from a Tampa Bay media. And look, coaches in the NHL are not going to tip their hand
right
on who they're starting the very next game in a back-to-back situation. John Hines says, I don't know yet.
So that was his
answer. It was quick.
Dave Randorf, who is the television voice of Tampa, did come up and ask me before the game. He said, who's starting for you guys tonight? And I said, it's Saros. He goes, we weren't sure. He said, we weren't sure because you guys play Minnesota tomorrow. So it's a fair question to ask. I just think that their thinking was if Saros plays a great game against Tampa, they could have maybe thought about coming back with him last night. But either way, I think what was a smart thing at the end of the night was to play Riddick last night. And Riddick came through with a big point. You know, you'd love to have UC Saros for every single game because he's such a game changer. But there is a point where you got to pay the piper and rest your starter. And David Riddick, to his credit, he's gone long stretches without playing. And he came in. He's not a superstar, but he gave him a solid effort last night and got a point. His last two starts, he's had two starts in 2 weeks. But he's got a point in the back half of back-to-backs. In each of those starts, it's not all bad.
Unnamed texter, Preds are a good team. Problem is they aren't better than any of the top six teams in the league. They'll get smoked in the first round. They're better off to not make it or try to get a higher draft pick. I don't ever.
What?
Anybody's ever listened to the show, I will never, ever, ever subscribe to that. No, that's the wrong answer. You don't try to miss the playoffs to get a higher draft pick.
So is that what they should have done in 2017? Or
It's not even about that. Like, without even knowing the results, it's vitally important for the success of a franchise to make the playoffs. That's more home games. That generates more revenue. And a lot of fans will say, well, I don't care about that. Really? So you don't care? Do you care when you go into Bridgestone Arena, which, oh, by the way, is just as old? It's older than Nissan Stadium. Does it look it? The constant upgrades?
Yeah.
The constant new things they're putting in there, the millions of dollars they sink into it at all times to always keep it fresh and new? Do you care about that when you go to games? Well, how do you think that happens? If they got just two more home games, that's millions of dollars.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Look, that's your opinion. You have the right to that opinion. Just don't expect me to ever agree with it, ever. I will never say, yeah, the better course of action is to not make the playoffs as opposed to making the playoffs.
I agree. I always think you play for it. And I do believe that if this team can find that gear that's been missing for a while, I do think they can be dangerous in the playoffs, regardless of who they play. But I think they look like a team that's a notch below the elite teams right now. And that's no shame because, I mean, Minnesota is going to pay the piper down the road for these moves they've made this year. They've loaded up. They've got salary cap issues coming. The Predators' outlook is really good with the salary cap. They have some good flexibility. I'm hoping that they're building towards a roster that can be a true heavyweight. They're going to be an underdog if they can go ahead and make the playoffs. You'd like to
going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
They're going to make the playoffs.
Now, it's Calgary or Colorado. Those are the next two games. You're going to see them firsthand. Colorado, by the way, has lost four in a row. They've kind of put it on cruise control.
That may be a byproduct of them just kind of coasting.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And it's pretty clear they don't care about the President's
trophy. But what does that mean for Thursday? Will they flip the switch like Tampa did? Or that's a good question. Chicago in 2017, I think, lost their last five going into that series with the Predators, and then they didn't flip the switch.
Right. We've seen both. Look, that's one part of the
it's an
that's
unknown. One part the of playoffs the, is a whole different thing.
That's one answer to that question. The other answer is just the obvious. I mean, like I said, without even knowing the results and just playing the worst-case scenario, it's still worth it. But there is this element of look every year. Do you watch the NHL playoffs? Watch how difficult it is to make predictions. We do it every year. And look how hard it is to predict just going round by round and trying to predict who's going to win. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's very, very unpredictable, which makes it fun. Does that mean they're going to be the upset special? I don't know. Everybody hopes so. But I'm saying that's the other element is you don't know in NHL playoffs. We have example after example. It's not just 2017. I know that's the example we reference the most because it happened here. But there's
no.
It, the league
the Montreal
is literally
Canadiens.
Last
the Montreal
year,
Canadiens.
No, literally no one predicted them to get to the Stanley Cup final last year. No one.
Nobody.
They got to the Stanley Cup final. It happens. Like, just get in and see what happens. Like, there's never, never a scenario where it's, hey, yeah, I'm not feeling it this year with this team. They got no chance. So let's just bag it. Let's just skip the playoffs and let's get a higher draft pick by like two spots.
Yeah,
and boy, that'll fix everything. Come on. No, that's not the solution.
Now, later in the show, we should probably talk about what's missing right now. There's some guys right now that they've got to
get that.
They've got to get back.
And I'm not saying that feeling isn't warranted. We'll talk about it later, but it's still not the answer to that. It's still not the answer of, hey, let's just forget the playoffs because doesn't look like this team is good enough. But there are things to discuss, which are,
yes,
and we will a little bit later, but we'll come back. We'll talk with TD, Teron Davenport. He joins us every Monday to start the second hour. We will do that next here live from Hermitage Golf Course, ESPN 102.5 The Game.